Today we're going to talk about some of the more dire consequences of stress.
Right.
And that has to do with some of the medically related mm-hmm. issues. Stress takes a major toll on your body physiologically.
Right.
But also some of the other consequences of stress associated with, certainly it's associated with mental illness, like
right.
we talked about yesterday, but you know, some of the consequences that lead to even
right.
suicide and things like that.
Right. As we said yesterday, I like to divide the effects of stress
mm-hmm.
into two categories. One is all the physical
mm-hmm.
damage that it does to your body, and we're going to talk about those today. But the other is the emotional toll that it takes.
Right.
Even without a diagnosis of mental illness,
mm-hmm.
the emotional effects. So if you think in terms of physical health effects and emotional effects, it's a good way to conceptualize the effects of stress.
Absolutely. So when we think about the physical, we'll talk about the physical part first. It's been well documented. And if you've been to a physician in the past 10 years at least,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've known that, and they've talked about the effects of stress
right.
on our physical health. We know that stress is almost directly related to hypertension or high blood pressure.
Right.
It's related to a number of other cardiovascular
mm-hmm.
Issues. Chronic stress lowers our immune system,
right.
Lowers the efficacy of our immune system,
mm-hmm.
which makes us more susceptible to getting sick. So when we're stressed, we tend to have colds and be more easily contract things like the flu
right.
and other things. It has some relationship to diabetes. And to a whole host of
mm-hmm.
mental of physical health issues.
Right. There was a wonderful book written. It's been at least 15 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
called "Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers."
Right.
And as you might imagine from the title, zebras don't have chronic stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They have acute stress. They have to get away from predators.
Right.
Once they've gotten away, the stress terminates.
Right.
So it lasts for a few seconds, they get away, and the stress is over.
The way that stress is supposed to be.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so this was written by a neuroscientist by the name of Robert Sapolsky, and Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers.
Right.
And therein is the difference, because we subject ourselves to chronic stress.
Right.
And it's chronic stress that's so damaging.
Right.
Acute stress is adaptive, it's
right.
life-saving.
Right.
The zebra runs away.
Right.
It's a life-saving mechanism, but the stress response system wasn't built to deal with the chronic stress that we feel
right.
in modern culture.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and you know, when you think about animals like zebras,
mm-hmm.
You know, this is why zebras and their predators,
right.
lions and
mm-hmm.
and other large cats, can drink from the same watering hole at the same time.
You see those pictures.
Fine.
You see mm-hmm. those pictures of the zebra and the lion both drinking at the end. Why isn't the zebra running?
Right.
Okay. Because the zebra knows that there's no danger here.
Right.
You know, they know, because there's a morphology to the hunt,
mm-hmm.
and they're not seeing that morphology, so they know that they're safe. They've learned that over time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. So ulcers and things like that are. So other gastrointestinal
right.
things are also associated with chronic stress.
Mm-hmm.
We know that chronic stress takes a toll on our body's utilization of various vitamins and minerals.
Right.
You know, we have a difficult time with, you know, and the relationship is interesting, because when we're under chronic stress, we tend to eat differently. We tend
mm-hmm.
to eat less healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to eat more carbohydrates and
right.
less foods that are rich in vitamins and nutrients
mm-hmm.
that we really need. And so
right.
we have those kinds of issues as well.
Right. One of the things that this article points out, and it's really an interesting read, it talks about our body's balance system,
right.
you know, the homeostasis, what we call homeostasis.
Right.
And all of our body systems have to be in balance,
right.
okay? And when you throw off the balance,
mm-hmm.
you get into trouble. I can remember a time when we were providing care for my mother-in-law, And she woke up one morning and she was completely out of it and not able to get up, not able to walk. And I thought, oh my gosh, what's wrong with her? Because it was so sudden. It was an electrolyte imbalance. Mm-hmm. That's all it took.
Right.
Okay, a single electrolyte threw her completely off. And that's what this article talks about, is salt.
Right, and this is the article that's in the show notes from the Center for Studies on Human Stress.
Right, and the first one is salt. It throws off your salt balance.
Right.
And I don't know enough about endocrinology and
the physiology behind it is fascinating.
It's so fascinating, but you throw off your salt,
mm-hmm.
The quantity of salt in your body. And that's why Gatorade and those mm-hmm. Drinks have salts in them, various
right.
kinds of salts in them, is to restore your balance. Because
right.
if that gets out of whack, you're going to be in trouble. And stress reduces the amount of salt in your body. Okay,
right.
It takes up salt. Does the same thing with water.
Right.
Okay, you need a certain amount of water in your body because water brings things to you. And you can either increase the amount of water that you have, and so it's harder for your heart to get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
and so you get heart failure. But you actually lose, you retain fluids
mm-hmm.
Because you want to have that when you're under stress.
Right.
But chronic stress keeps it in your system too long.
Right.
So again, too much water, throw your body out of balance.
Right. It affects a variety of other things, including cholesterol.
Cholesterol.
It increases, it throws out the delicate balance of the good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol in our system,
right.
Which isn't good for our heart and our cardiovascular system.
Right. And it's interesting. Cholesterol makes cortisol.
Right.
Okay. So cortisol is released during the fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're constantly in stress
mm-hmm.
and constantly producing cortisol,
right.
you have to constantly produce cholesterol,
right.
especially the bad cholesterol,
right.
as it turns out. Okay, and so there are all these connections. You have increased cortisol, you have increased cholesterol. You have
mm-hmm.
increased cholesterol, you're going to be in poor health,
right.
which we all know.
Yeah.
Okay, so stress causes increased cholesterol. Who
yeah.
would have thought? We thought it was just diet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the foods you eat. It's
right.
also stress.
Absolutely.
Same thing with insulin.
Yeah.
There's this connection. When cortisol increases...
There's a very, very intricate relationship between cortisol and insulin.
Well, it's interesting because insulin is used for digestion.
Right.
Okay? When you're stressed, you're not... If you're running from a predator, you're not going to stop to eat.
Right.
So when you're stressed, insulin drops.
Mm-hmm.
When you're under chronic stress, it stays low.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a buildup of blood sugar.
Right.
Okay. So there are all these intricate balancing
yeah.
acts that stress interferes with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The last one is truncal obesity.
Right. Yeah.
Why would you get truncal obesity? I remember a psychiatrist telling me one time, years and years ago, I was a friend of the family and we were talking about weight and weight gain. He said, well, no, when you're under stress, you gain weight. I thought that's counterintuitive. I just assumed that when you're under a lot of stress, you eat less and
mm-hmm.
you lose weight.
Right.
He said, no, it's a biological mechanism that we have. And this is absolutely fascinating. When you're stressed, usually our species was stressed because of hunger.
Right.
We didn't have a reliable food supply. So when you get stressed, your body becomes very good at storing fat.
Mm-hmm.
And it stores it in places that are easy to access.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it easiest to access? Closest to your stomach.
Right.
Makes perfect sense when
right.
you think about it, but we rarely think about these connections.
Right.
So that's why you get belly fat.
Right.
Because it's close to your stomach, so your
right.
stomach can get to it in a hurry.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so when you're under chronic stress, you tend to gain weight, and that weight tends to be around the trunk region of around your waist
right.
and stomach and abdomen mm-hmm. area. And so you see people who are under chronic stress and they have retained and gained
right.
a lot of weight in that area,
mm-hmm.
but in the other areas of the body, their legs and their arms and everything may seem thin. And
yeah, you can see people who do that. Now, there are also some foods and beverages
right.
which will make you
can
make,
do that too.
Do the same thing.
Right.
But yes, typically that truncal obesity
mm-hmm.
is a problem. So when you think about salt, water, cholesterol, insulin, and truncal obesity,
yeah.
well, that's a cascade of serious health
Absolutely.
Problems. You know,
Absolutely.
So. So those are some of the health risks involved. So if you start to if your immune system, you start to get frequent colds, you're not sleeping well, you're gaining weight or keep retaining weight, and you start to have these other maladies, you may want to consider that it's chronic stress that's contributing or causing these health problems.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, the last part that we're going to talk about today, there's a link in the show notes from time.com about a 9-year-old Colorado boy because of the stress he was under related to bullying and some of those other social issues at school, committed suicide.
This boy is 9 years old, so he'd be in about the fourth grade. Typically a 9-year-old is about in the fourth grade. And I was just stunned when I got this. He had come out to his parents and a relative, and it was accepted in the family. And apparently either he announced it at school or the word got out that he was gay, and he began to become the victim of classroom bullies. And the stress built up, and that was his way of dealing with it.
Right, and we're talking about it here, though certainly we could have talked about this yesterday when we talked about mental health issues, but there's no, and we say this, and it's, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's meaningless to say this, but it doesn't hold a lot to say that he didn't really have any mental health issues prior that we know of, you know, prior to, a particular mental health problems or issues. And so it appears at least as though, you know, it was, I don't want to say simply either, it was very directly the result related. Of the stress that he was experiencing as a result of the bullying and ridicule and everything that he was getting from classmates.
We had a girl in art in Lakeland who did that. And we also talked about another girl from Ireland. Remember the girl who came from Ireland, and within a year she had committed suicide because of bullying. So, that kind of stress induced can create these sorts of emotional. That's just the other silo, the emotional problems.
Right. So it's, you know, stress is. Well, I think there's an ad that says stress is a killer. It's a silent killer, and it is. In a lot of different ways, whether it's, you know, mental health issues, whether it's these physical health issues that we were talking about today, or if it leads to someone, you know, taking their own life, you know, stress is a significant factor attributed to all of these areas, and that's one of the reasons why we're focusing on it so specifically this week, because it is often. We sort of mention stress sort of in passing. Oh, I'm just stressed out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, oh, he's under a lot of stress or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we really don't think about what that means and what those real effects are. And it is time that we really pay much more attention to that.
Right. And I think schools need to be aware of this as well, because we teach a course in the chapter on learning.
Right.
The end of the chapter was cultural differences. Mm-hmm. And this whole issue of why... Why do students from Eastern cultures, why do they do better than American students? Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is because there's enormous pressure on those students to produce, because there are a limited number of university positions and you have to compete and you have to take tests. But it's also, there's a balance between putting your children under stress so that they perform, and I think that's appropriate.
Right.
But there we're talking about acute stress. We're talking about simple stress, you know, let's get this done and all. When our educational programs can easily cross some threshold that's invisible, you cross some threshold and you start to create chronic stress, and then kids start to break down.
Right.
And performance goes down. And earlier this week, we talked about the Yerkes-Dodson law, that inverted U. And some stress is okay, and it could lead to increased performance. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you're going to reach that peak where you're going to have diminished performance because there's too much stress, and you're actually creating. So parents and teachers can create stress in students because there's too much pressure, there's to the drive to excel becomes overwhelming.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we need to be careful, because you're not going to see that line. I mean, there's no way to know. And some kids get there sooner than others.
Right.
That's the other thing.
Absolutely. So, and we'll talk tomorrow about how to manage stress, strategies for dealing with stress that you may be encountering in your life. So
it's not easy to do.
It
takes some effort.
It is.
So
before we go, we're trying to make sure that we announce the first Mental Health Bloggers Conference. It'll be held in London on December 17th, and we're very excited about it.
I just had did you ever think I'd be involved in a bloggers conference?
No, I didn't.
You're still not sure, are you?
I'm still wondering if it's going to happen.
Okay. Sorry,
but
I brought it up.
It's going to be on December 17th.
Right.
And it's taking place in London. Mm-hmm. The link to the announcements and everything is in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But we are working diligently. We're working with the conference organizers from PsychReg and GetSight on working on a system to be able to offer or broadcast the entire conference via the web, so people can attend virtually through whatever mechanism we're able to get to work. We're kind of tossing around a couple of different ideas. But what we know for sure is that we are going to host a live broadcast of the podcast during the conference, and that will be available for others to watch, and it will be then available on as a regular podcast that we'll post. But we're going to we get to participate in that way. We can't go to London, unfortunately.
Though we'd like to.
Though we would really like to. But we will be able to be part of the conference virtually.
Right. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. So check out the website. It's in the show notes again. And check out the conference organizers, psychreg.org and GetSight. It's a great podcast and YouTube program by our good friend, Fraser Smith, who is finishing up his doctorate in psychology and is doing some fantastic work. We're really impressed with him.
Yeah, I always have to remind myself that he's still completing his doctorate because he's a little bit ahead of schedule, quite a bit ahead of schedule.
Right.
Normally people...
He's an international presenter. And
And normally people wait until after they finish their doctorate, but Fraser was in a hurry.
Yeah.
He's done a fantastic job.
That's right.
Very few people could do this. I knew one other guy who... It was a nuclear, got his PhD in nuclear physics, and one of the first articles he wrote was published in Nature Magazine. He had two articles in Nature Magazine while he was still a PhD student. Nature Magazine is something where it's usually end of career Nobel Prize stuff. But so Fraser's maybe in that category with those kind of people. So kudos to you.
Absolutely. So check that out. All the links are in the show notes. All right. That's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.